Michigan City, Indiana. How do you do? Michigan City, Indiana. How do you do?
Ooh.
Oh, man. Man, that was... That was the weakest woo we've had yet.
I mean, woo.
Howdy do.
Howdy do, Michigan City.
Oh, man. Kyle, you're just a little down tonight.
I'm a little down, yeah. It's not due to sadness or anything. It's due to being stoned, I guess. No.
Anyway.
We were talking about Blunt World last episode, yeah. So I feel like it was...
Did you stop by?
No, I have not. No, I've got a kidney stone for anyone wondering.
No.
And some people are probably like, why aren't you in the ER? Well, it's not that big of a kidney stone, but it doesn't matter because the smallest of kidney stones is still the most painful of kidney stones.
Oh. Yeah. Well, I don't really know what to say about that, but we were talking a little bit earlier because I never had a kidney.
Could say sorry. No.
Yeah. Sorry.
I'm just kidding.
I was asking you, like, in my mind, I've never had a kidney stone. So in my mind, it's like, I don't know, like a razor blade passing through your system or something.
Yeah.
But you were saying that's actually not.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like knives or anything like that. It just feels like someone has punched you in the kidney, and that feeling of impact is just perpetual. Like it's yeah.
Okay, well, all right, well, let's move on to better things.
Yeah, there we go. Let's do that.
Segway.
Speaking of sharp objects,
yes, actually. Oh man, so if you're a listener of Howdy Do, which if you're not, well, why not?
I know. What's wrong with you?
Right. And
welcome.
I'm just going to assume that everybody that's listening right now has listened to all the other episodes.
And if you hadn't, you're like, why is this guy talking about kidney stones?
Right. Go back. Well, we're always talking about this hatchet throwing location in Michigan City called the Lucky Hatchet.
Yep.
And we've mentioned it in every single episode. And finally...
They owe us money.
Yeah. So finally, we just said, let's do it. Let's go. So one night, a while back, me, you, and our buddy Shane met up at the Lucky Hatchet.
Yep. And
it was a weekday night.
Yeah, it was a Monday night, I believe.
It was a Monday night.
It was 2 weeks ago.
Just turn that bad Monday right around.
Yeah,
throw
exactly.
Some hatchets. Get out some stress.
Yeah, get out some aggression. This was before I had the kidney stone.
Yeah,
so.
This was pre-kidney stone. Pre-painkiller.
Exactly.
So should we just talk about what was your first impression?
My first impression was am I going to kill myself because, well, I got there 15 minutes before you guys did. Mm. Or no, wait, was it a half an hour before you? I don't know. I don't know. It's fine. I just I had to get out of the house and I had to go there. So
you wanted to practice.
Yeah, pretty much. I got there. I got to practice for a little bit before you guys got there, but it was funny because, he handed me the waiver and I was like, and when I saw the waiver,
I was like,
oh my gosh, how big is this waiver? And he was like, dude, that's just a bunch of waivers stacked on top of it. I was like, oh.
Right.
So I felt like an idiot. Yeah. And then
but what was really funny about that was that when I showed up, I did the same thing. Because he hands it to me in this thing, and it looks like it's 50 pages.
Yeah, it's like a book.
Yeah, and if you've ever gone skydiving, that's how it actually is. There's a waiver for every, you know, the stitching and the fabric and all this. You have to sign your life away.
Yeah.
So I thought that's what it was. Like, oh man, there's 50 pages.
I know, right?
And then it's, oh no, it's just this first page.
I know. It's like, what is this, a license agreement for software or something?
Right.
It's what
is happening?
Yeah.
So once we got through the waiver part of the deal.
Saying that it's not their responsibility that I threw an axe into my leg and all that other stuff.
Yeah,
like,
which,
you know,
I mean, come on.
I get it.
Right.
But I decided to practice for a little bit before you got there. And I have to say that it is harder than it looks. It's not just point and throw.
Oh, okay. So you're saying that it's harder than it looks.
Well, yeah, because when I first saw it, I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. You just throw the axe and it hits the board and it stays in. But apparently, it doesn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So,
because I was throwing too softly at first. Like, when I first went there, I was just kind of lobbing it over.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, I'm like, well, I don't want this thing to bounce back at me, so I should just throw it softly. And it's like, no, you're supposed to throw it as hard as you can.
Yeah, you really gotta put your arm into it, because it's got a stick.
Yeah.
The thing that I was a little surprised about was that, I guess in my head, I thought the hatchets would rotate a whole bunch of times.
It is just once.
And then through, you know, he gave us was it Mike?
Oh man, I'm blanking on the name. He was one of the owners, though. He was a really nice guy.
Really helped us out.
Oh yeah.
And you know, he explained it, and he says, no, the hatchet just goes around one time when it hits. And so that was something new to me. For some reason in my head, I thought they would be flipping over a whole bunch.
I know, but I feel like it's just because of how close we are to the board. Maybe if we were, like, you know, obviously farther away, then you'd be looking at multiple rotations.
Yeah, maybe, but it made it easier, because it's like, okay, it's gonna end in the same position that when it leaves my hand and go around 360 degrees.
Yeah.
And hit in there.
Yeah. And when I say it's harder than it seems, it doesn't mean this. I didn't mean to make it sound like it's hard. It's just not as simple as point and throw, like we said.
Okay.
Like you know, there is a little bit of skill to getting it in, but.
But I would say,
it's pretty easy.
The difference with how all three of us were doing when we first got there, by the time we left, which I think was like an hour, right?
We did about an hour.
Mm-hmm. Was completely different.
Yeah.
We just needed that 1 hour to get onto it.
Oh, yeah, I know.
I mean, by the end, when we were just playing around, after we played our games, we were, you know, playing around and, like, throwing two at once.
Yeah.
And at that point, it seemed a lot
Thanks
easier.
For letting us do that, by the way, Mike.
So, right. Yeah, so I think you just need that little bit of practice, but once you get the hang of it, I think by the end we were sticking it pretty good.
Yeah, no, yeah, it was pretty good. I actually got worse as the night progressed.
You got worse?
Yeah, but that's because I got tired, and so like, and also, did you see my target by the end of the night?
Your target? Yeah. So, yours was like chips were just falling off.
Yeah.
It was hacked up, whereas mine wasn't as chipped up at the end. I don't know if that was like the wood that was used.
Or maybe the axe wasn't as sharp as yours, maybe? I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe I had a duller axe.
I don't know.
I'll go with that as the reason why they weren't sticking as well.
So the first game, who won the first game?
I did.
You won the first game.
You bet I did.
That's right.
Yeah.
You did win the first game.
I was actually good the first game.
Yeah. You started off really strong.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought, Kyle's a natural at throwing these. He was, you know, we had that half hour of practice. Of course.
I warmed up.
Yeah. And then, well, I guess I did win the next two games.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, it's that circus history.
Yep, this is true.
Our friend Shane. Oh, so for anyone that hasn't been there, there's obviously the bullseye, like the red circle in the middle, and to get the bullseye, you just need the hatchet to just get in the red, at all, and you get the points for the bullseye. Whereas like the other ranges, the hatchet has to be mostly inside. Kind of hard to explain, but if you go,
which when you hit it halfway, it's like, oh, which one do we want to go with? Is it mostly 4 points? Is it mostly three?
But then there's these two like little blue dots in the corners that are like a lot of points.
And we didn't think that at first. We were like, what are those, like five? Or and then he was like, no, those are eight. It's like, oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Oh, that makes sense now because they're tiny.
Yeah, like they're tiny and they're. If you noticed, it was most of our axes were in the bottom half,
because
that's just the natural way. And so these blue dots were in the upper part of the target.
Yeah.
So they were harder to hit.
Yeah, they're so hard to hit.
Shane hit one of those.
He's the only one who hit one.
That's right.
Yeah.
So, and he had never done it before. So exactly. That shows that even if you've never played before, you can show up and within your first few games, even hit the blue dot.
Yeah. And the fun thing is that it is game oriented. Like, I didn't know that when we were going. I thought it would just be like throw the axe at the target, just have fun. But it's actually like darts. Like, there's points and all this other stuff. And
yeah,
which actually made it really fun when we started doing it then.
Oh yeah.
Because then it's like, ooh, competition.
Oh,
like,
yeah. I mean, yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And when we went, which was I can't remember how long ago it was now, but there wasn't any alcohol served.
This is true.
But we learned that night while we were there that the next weekend,
they were going
to
have
alcohol. After we played there, they were going to start serving Burnham Brewing.
Oh yeah, that's beer. Right. Not just have alcohol; they were going to have Burnham, and that's oh, that's awesome.
So I mean, we picked. We should have just waited. If we had known that, we probably would have waited a few days.
Yeah.
But whatever. That's great. And so now I want to go back because I really think that now it might be even more fun.
Yeah, exactly.
And the other thing in the back is like a different business.
Yeah.
That is golf simulator.
Yeah, I know, right?
A golf simulator.
So when I heard about this golf simulator thing, I was like, okay, well, how does that work?
Like, you're playing golf, really.
Yeah.
So then I was like, well, that's cool. You know, like maybe like a bachelor party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it.
And you do both. You play your round of golf, and then you throw hatchets for an hour. Yeah. Get out your aggression because you didn't win at golf.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously then and Burnham drinking Burnham Brewing beer the whole time. So they got a little
And the cool thing is, like, not only is it like simulation of a golf course, but you can do driving range simulation too, which is, I think,
kind of cool. Right.
Yeah,
that's
so right. There was a lot of
So that might even be more fun because then it's just like who can hit it the farthest.
Yeah, exactly.
And we should mention that you're hitting real golf balls.
Yeah.
So that was the other thing I thought at first. I thought they were like the plastic balls that you were hitting.
I thought it was just going to have you swing over a fake over a tee, and then it would just simulate
or even that. Right, yeah. Right. It's just like a foam thing that you hit, and no. You're hitting real golf balls.
Yeah,
with real
inside.
Clubs,
with
real clubs. Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's just that the whatever catches the netting that catches the ball obviously takes the full force of the impact and. Like, doesn't...
Is that what it is? Or, is there, like, cameras that catching the angle of the ball? Is it done by cameras, or is it where the ball hits?
Well, I don't know if it's where the ball hits. I just know that there's got to be netting that stops the ball from bouncing back and hitting you.
Oh, because that's what the waiver is for.
Yeah. You should see the waiver for the golf course. Yeah.
I was late recording tonight. I guess I'm just late all the time. I guess you got to just factor
that. It's fine. I forgive you for
that. But I was fixing a little family crisis. So my daughter is at nap school.
Okay,
she's in first grade, and so for the last few months, she's been singing the Christmas songs for the school Christmas pageant.
Okay,
play that they have, and she's singing. You know. They build it up all, they practice for months, these songs, and she doesn't have any, like, lines in the play.
Okay.
Which is, like, who do I need to talk to about that, right? That's a whole nother thing.
What do you mean my daughter's not good enough?
Exactly, exactly. As we know, Star Wars Episode 9 is coming out soon. Now, with big movies, they actually release them the night before.
Oh, so they Thursday do like night. The Thursday 9 p.m. thing.
Well, now, it used to be Thursday night at midnight was when they would have the first.
Yeah, I remember that.
They'll run them down earlier in the evening. And so, like, months ago, when they released the tickets, I went in, because episodes 7 and 8, we've always seen the very first showing of it on Thursday.
Uh-oh.
I went in 6 p.m. on Thursday, December 19th. So I bought whole family. $42.
Oh, my God.
two adults, one 13-year-old and one 7-year-old.
At the AMC over here?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They actually charged me more because it was the premium showing. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah.
That ticks me off.
I know.
They didn't used to do that.
I know. They know they can. So anyways, so obviously I've been very excited about that, right? Episode 9, man. Mm-hmm. You're excited, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, I am. But I'm saying that with apprehension because I feel like I know where this story is going.
I think everybody already knows. Yeah. So a few days ago, I finally put two and two together that her Christmas pageant was next Thursday at 6:30 p.m.
Oh, no.
The first thing Darth Vader does, no.
Yeah.
It was like that.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Oh, right. Oh, man. So what do you do? You know, and so I thought, well, I'm going to turn this into a life lesson. Sit her down. Say, Addie, Christmas pageants come once a year, but episode 9 comes once in a lifetime. No.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah, no. We'll pick you up when the movie's over. No.
You don't even have any lines. Why do we want to go?
No lines. Right. Next time, make sure you get some lines.
Yeah, if you get some lines, then maybe we'll show up.
Right. So anyways, no.
She'll remember this when she sees her therapist.
I had to do the right thing. So tonight, I swung by AMC because I didn't really know what they were going to do. I didn't know what the procedure was going to be, if they even refund tickets. Because these were physical tickets that I bought from them in person, not online. And so I showed up and told them the story. And they just refunded the tickets. And I bought tickets for Friday night.
That's it?
That's what I did.
That was as easy as that? They didn't go like, oh, well, this is really inconvenient, sir. They didn't, no.
But the thing is that I'm pretty sure it was a sold-out show. So they were probably like, oh, boy, four more. You know, it's like it's like the hottest show of the year.
Yeah.
So I think they were.
So they didn't look at you like you were an idiot like that hostess did when you tried to turn in that receipt?
So we also had talked about the last episode was that the new coffee shop was having an pre-opening open mic. So I went. It was last Friday.
How was it?
And it was interesting. The place is great.
Okay. And this is Fluid Coffee Bar we're talking about.
Yeah. We got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
we have talked about places.
And not mentioned
for
them.
10 minutes and then never even mentioned the name. That's, we don't mention the name till the check's cash.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? anyways, no, the location is great. They're really like in tune with art. And they like a lot of art hanging up, and they're going to do a lot of artistic stuff.
Sweet.
And they have this thing in the middle that is like a seat from like an amusement park ride.
Really?
Yeah, with like a thing in the middle that you would turn like a twister ride or something.
What?
But it's there, yeah, and it's like in its own little like room thing that's all painted black, and then they have this really cool fluid painting in the background.
Okay.
So as soon as I saw it, I thought this is essentially like a selfie promotion.
Oh, that's what it is? Okay.
Well, it didn't say that, but
yeah,
I think it's just made basically it's for like people to sit in it and get their pictures taken.
Yeah.
You know, I just thought in this day and age of basically the promotion and marketing.
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty neat.
All the influencers will be in it.
There you go. Yeah. They also have a little room in the back that...
For what?
Well, I guess it's like... I don't know if you could like rent it out like specifically or if maybe it's just one of those things like we go and use it if no one's there.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's a table there.
Okay.
Like a little private room.
Oh, okay. So like maybe like a private event room or something like that? Okay.
Not big, but I mean the table there could fit four or five people.
Yeah. The Fluid Coffee people who are listening right now are like, he wasn't supposed to see that room.
Oh, no, it was on the tour.
That's where we do our clandestine meetings.
Right. No, it was on the tour. It was on the tour.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And it was just a power move then.
And then behind that is where they're actually going to brew the coffee, and it's like a big window. So you're going to be able to actually see them.
Oh, you can see them do it?
Well, that's the thing about the opening, is that they weren't actually making coffee. Or selling it.
Well, so there was no coffee at Fluid Coffee during the opening?
There was...
that's very confusing
cold,
to me.
There was cold samples. Or at least...
Were they supposed to be cold?
Well, that's what I was going to say, is that at least every sample that I had was cold. So maybe there were hot samples. But they were in little plastic cups. So I think,
I'm guessing it's supposed to be cold.
I think they're not open yet. They open on December 22nd.
I think they specialize in nitro cold brews, if I remember someone saying that to me correctly. Now, granted, that's someone telling me this.
Wait, so the cold is like what they specialize in?
Well, they specialize in those nitro like brews, I think, which are like usually cold.
Oh,
so
I guess
I think they do hot coffee too. I just think that's like the thing they're known for.
Oh,
is the super strong, dude. I'm probably totally wrong on this. This is what I've heard.
Yeah, well,
hearsay.
Well, hey, so Mary tells me after she listens to every episode that we say wrong stuff all the time. So
I'm sure.
Go for it.
But okay, well, whatever we say wrong, like send us a correction so we can read it out loud and be like, correction.
Yeah,
this is the right thing.
Yeah,
but that's fine. Whatever. Okay. We can send off wrong information all the time.
Oh yeah,
we'll correct ourselves.
We'll follow up.
Yeah.
But anyway, so every sample I had was cold. One of them was like a peanut butter.
That sounds delicious.
I thought that I do like peanut butter.
Yeah.
It was something would I drink a whole mug of that? No. A small sample? Okay. So how does it come? Does it come like that? Is it supposed to be a little shot? Or is it like, you know...
Would you like a shot of peanut butter coffee?
Right. Right. I don't know. We will see. I'm going to be curious to see how it goes. And so they did the open mic. It was a whole band.
Wait. Okay.
Yeah.
Describe, because you're saying there's a whole band
and
it's an open mic.
Yep.
That sounds like those are two things that don't usually go together.
So typically when I think of open mic, especially, you know, Michigan City, I think of like a dude and his acoustic guitar.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Which is what I would prefer personally.
Yeah.
It was that there was no acoustic guitars there at all. And so the host that was putting on the open mic was a band. It was a whole band. They had a full drum kit. And I guess the lead singer played some kind of like organ thing.
Okay.
And then there was a guitar player. Maybe I'm showing my age a little bit, but the drumming was just way too loud for me.
No, in a place like that happens.
I mean, full-blown drum kit and a little coffee shop. If you're going to do that, you really need like the plastic guard around it. Or you got to use the feathery.
Softer,
Or just, honestly, just no drums. Or like a hand drum. I don't know.
Yeah,
so
like
the drumming was a little too much.
Like a cajon
and there was packed at first. So it was really crowded, and I saw, you know, there was a lot of people there. But once the music started, it really like cleared people out
because
it was so
bad.
Loud. Well, but I don't know. That was part of it, but
yeah. Well, it's just too bad that people left. Is what I'm saying.
Well, like, maybe they didn't like leave, or they went out front or whatever. But mm-hmm. And really, like I said, they weren't selling anything. You know. The menus were up, but you couldn't go and order anything. So really, there wasn't much. You go and you have a few samples, and
you
look at the place, and you're done. It wasn't really a hangout all night kind of thing. Anyways, most people were there just to take the little tour, and you know, they're not opening till December 22nd. So instead of an open mic, it should have just been an open house.
Yeah,
just come check us out.
Maybe just have the band play the entire time or something like that, or like something softer.
Yeah,
but. I find that I wonder if they're going to do the open mic every first Friday, because I think in January I saw that they're doing it again, which is interesting to me for two reasons, because Lebesnik Center typically does their open mic night on every January first Friday.
I saw that January 3rd.
Yeah, January 3rd. So if we have two open mic nights, That might be a little interesting to see.
Well,
what comes of that?
Well, I haven't been to the Lebesnik one. I'd like to go. Maybe this year I'm going to go to that.
Yeah, you should.
But from the pictures that I've seen, that's more acoustic guitar, right?
Like, yeah, it's more like acoustic guitar, like mandolin. Like, I've seen there's been a keyboard there before and stuff like that.
But no drums.
No, typically, maybe one time there's been a drum kit, but nothing like,
right.
Yeah, not okay. Typically. That's not a typical thing.
So it's possible that really there's two open mics going on at the same time, but it's two different audiences.
That's true. That's true. It could totally be the same thing, or it could totally be that.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting. The other reason why I think it's interesting is because Canterbury Theater used to host an open mic on First Fridays.
Yep. Yep.
Granted, that was later. That was more like, I think it was like 7 or 8 p.m. is when that started. But that was a monthly thing. They did it every First Friday. And so I'm just wondering, and that ended. That ended because attendance got low and there wasn't enough people wanting to perform. So I'm just hoping that, I just worry that they're going to have trouble finding performers and attendees, but maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe the people who wanted to perform are like, oh man, I really wish we had an open mic again. Like, I really wish Canterbury still did it, and maybe this will be their new outlet.
Yeah, maybe.
I hope so.
Well, my goal for 2020 is to start doing open mics again.
Yeah.
So.
Do it, man.
Fluid, maybe.
Yeah.
The Lebesnik one, that's just once?
Yeah, they do it once a year.
Once a year.
Yeah, January.
January 3rd this year.
Yeah. It's hosted by Tim Rounds. He's the gentleman who would host the Canterbury open mics.
Oh, okay.
And so he does our open mic night for Lebesnik Center. So,
yeah. So that'll be interesting to see where not just the open mic, but where the Fluid coffee shop.
I'm excited. Goes.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a totally different type of coffee atmosphere than like say Lakeshore or say Big B or Starbucks or any of that stuff.
I guess that's, so. It's even cold, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like cold coffee, so hopefully. But
I feel like it's just a totally different, it's hitting a totally different coffee market than the other coffee shops hit. So I think that there's plenty of room in the city for coffee shops.
Oh, yeah.
I don't think anyone's going to get pushed out.
Yeah.
Because this coffee is, a new coffee shop is open.
Yeah. So for anyone that doesn't know, it's in the old Jazzercise.
That's right. I just remember the big old orange letters that said Jazzercise.
That's gone now, and now it says Fluid Coffee.
Yeah, because they got a whole new owner for that building now. So
okay.
Yeah.
It's too bad that those two things couldn't have coexisted at the same time, because there'd be nothing better than getting, you know,
jazzed up
on your cold coffee and then walking across the aisle and...
Just going at it with the Jazzercise. We can do this!
Yes!
Yes!
Yes.
She said some peanut butter coffee!
Oh, man. So, every Christmas season for like the last, gosh, I don't know, 8 years?
Yeah.
We always go to the Heston Steam Museum.
Oh, nice.
It's up in...
Rolling Prairie, right?
Well... It's basically on the Indiana-Michigan border.
Yeah.
And in fact, when you take the little train trip, it's not little, it's an actual train. Well, they do have little trains, actually. They do have little trains that you're like sitting on top of. I've never taken those because it's very cold. I'd rather just take the big train.
Yeah.
And, but anyways, when you take the trip through the woods and all that, you can see the Michigan line. Indiana-Michigan line.
Oh, really? It's like drawn out on the ground?
I think it's a little sign. It's yeah, it's a little sign.
You can see the line from the map?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, it's a little sign in the ground. Oh, but anyways, Santa is there. Sorry. So kids can see Santa in the caboose.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So we've done that. That's a little tradition of ours.
So you went this year?
Yeah, I did that last Saturday morning.
Nice. And so you got to see Santa and everything.
Yeah,
like that?
Got to
What'd
see
you
Santa.
Ask him for this year?
I didn't ask him for anything. You think I'm gonna sit on the lap?
I don't judge, Adam. Yeah. If you want to sit on Santa's lap and ask for some stuff
for Christmas this year, Santa, I want a tax break.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then on Sunday morning, this is the other tradition with Christmas.
Okay.
Is there's McClure's Christmas tree farm is like a mile from my house.
Oh.
So
you got your Christmas
drove
tree?
Down to the farm and you take a hay ride out to the where the trees are and yeah. You walk around and pick your tree, cut it down right there.
Murder it right there.
No, and take it. Murder it.
Take it home to display your killing.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. So gruesome. Yes.
It's the kidney stone talking. Yeah.
It's the painkillers talking. Yeah, well, it didn't cry, but I don't know, the sap, actually, it was dripping sap. I thought it was sap, but really now I know it's tears.
If I wanted to start a Christmas tree farm,
yeah,
how much land and how much time do I need before it becomes profitable?
Yeah. Like several years, probably. Yeah. Well, what's interesting is the very first, I don't want to call it a job, but I guess it was kind of a job. I did it for money.
Okay.
The very first thing I did. Well, I didn't like sign a W-2 or anything.
Oh, okay.
I
was in it's under the table job.
I don't know. I don't remember. I was in high school and there was a Christmas tree farm outside of Rochester, Indiana, which is right around where I grew up.
Okay.
And first thing I did, I was like 16 and I took this big machete. It was about 3 feet long machete, and you put a plastic guard on your knee, or on your leg, on your shin.
Okay.
And you kind of you walk around the tree, and you swipe the machete down the side, and you form the Christmas tree shape.
What?
Yeah.
My life is a lie.
Trimming Christmas trees. To shape it as like the point up to the point, and then when I got really good because they don't grow like that.
They don't.
Where there's like one thing at the top for your star.
Dang it!
No,
I feel like such an idiot.
Right, the top has a whole bunch of points growing out.
Yeah,
you know, and so after I got really good, after I did it for a little, you know, a few days, I got really good. You know, looking at every tree like a piece of art.
Yeah.
And saying, how am I going to, you know, form this tree to be the best it can possibly be? And so you get really good with that machete.
You're like looking at like a canvas.
Uh-huh.
And you're like.
Yeah. But anyways, so that's McClure's tree farm. And they're very busy right now. So if you want to go get a tree, go out there. It's a Johnson 450. So if you take Johnson.
Okay.
You take Johnson down and then where the marathon station is, you take 450. And if you just keep going, you can't miss it because just keep going until you see a bunch of Christmas trees.
Yeah.
It was a 7-foot tree, which is, you know, it's a pretty big tree.
Yeah, really. That's a tall tree.
It's a pretty big tree for $60.
Okay.
And I mean, I'm pretty sure that's even cheaper than some of the trees you get in town
like
here.
Lowe's and stuff like that,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yep. Yeah. And it's just fun because you can go out and pick it.
Well, yeah, it's your tree then. Yeah. It's not, yeah. It's a little more fun than going down like an aisle and saying like an aisle in the garden section going like, this tree's not as brown as the others. I'll go with this one.
Or, right. Yeah. Like, you know, shipped from China.
Yeah, exactly.
Trees.
All the evergreens that China grows. Do you know where I get my tree? Hobby Lobby.
Hobby Lobby. Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a fake tree.
Oh, okay.
I was like, it's not a real tree. All
right. Yeah, well.
Yeah, I'm a wuss. I got a pre-lit tree, and I'm just like, it's up.
Oh, it's
done.
So not only is it a fake tree,
yeah.
But the lights were already built in.
Oh, the lights
are
already built
into
it, man.
Oh, you just literally just.
You just set it up, and you plug it in.
Pops
it's
up.
It's done.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Okay. And it's one of those thin ones, too. It doesn't take up a lot of land, like you know, doesn't take up a lot of square footage.
Yeah.
Because we don't have a lot of square footage in our living room, so we need a thinner tree. So it's just, yeah, it's like, boom, boom, shh, there it is. And then, but let's not mistake, it still takes us a whole day to put all the ornaments and stuff on the thing. So
well, yeah.
Let's not say it's like there's no effort involved in putting up this tree.
Yeah.
Goodness gracious. Did you do anything else like this past week or anything?
Oh,
like
man.
Did you go to the snowflake parade?
I did not.
Oh, okay. So after you gave me crap about going to the snowflake parade, you didn't go yourself?
That's exactly what happened.
Yeah, neither did I, so I can't say anything.
Yeah. Well, at least you have traditions.
Yeah.
One of them being that you don't go to the snowflake parade. But the lights started right now.
Washington Park.
Yeah, which I haven't been to yet.
No, I know. I need to.
I need to go check out that the Brontosaurus.
Yeah,
I love
it. Yeah, the Brontosaurus with the different colored tail.
Yeah, you gotta go check that out. We're gonna swing by there later. I've heard that it's really good this year.
Oh, really?
Maybe even better than before.
Oh, okay. Well, now I definitely have to go see it.
I don't know.
I'm definitely gonna go grab some hot cocoa and grab my wife and go check it out.
I wonder. So the snowflake parade. We talked about this before. I remember going to the snowflake parade before, and it was daytime.
Yeah.
Like, I felt like it was earlier in the afternoon.
Uh-huh.
But this year, it was at 4.
Yeah.
So, obviously, it got dark. And well, so the pictures I saw with Santa coming down, it was dark, and the lights were turned on the trees.
Yeah.
Which I think is really neat.
Remember how you gave me crap about me saying it was in the evening?
Yeah.
And you were like, no, it's not in the evening, I know. Kyle. You're a liar. And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we had a big fight about it afterwards. I'm done with howdy do. I talked you back into it.
Yeah. I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
But
so I don't know if I was just wrong or if it changed. I don't know.
I don't know. But I think they do that because they light the tree at the end. And so they probably just needed to be sufficiently dark enough where
it would be pretty lame where if they're lighting the tree during the daytime.
Yeah, it's like day. They're like, it's lit. It doesn't look any different.
Yeah. So the reason I didn't go to the snowflake parade is because I went to a show in Chicago.
Oh, what'd you go to?
Nerf Herder.
You were
it was classy.
I forgot about this. You were telling me about this via text message, and I just remember going,
you were
what
like,
is this?
Like, so confused. Like, I'm speaking in a completely different language.
And then finally
I had to break it down to you. Nerf Herder was a band.
I thought you were insulting me at first. Yeah. I was like, why is he using this insult against me?
Like, because, like, the Star
I'm
Wars.
Not a scruffy Nerf Herder.
Star Wars reference. They are a grunge. Nerdcore band, I guess. Grunge. Back from 96. The first album came out in 1996.
Dang.
And they had a radio hit called Golf Shirt. In the late 90s.
Maybe we should end the show with Golf Shirt playing.
Mm.
Instead of Howdy Do. I don't know.
Sure.
Why not?
Sure. And anyway, so they have several albums, and I used to just listen to those albums all the time, kind of a guilty pleasure, I guess. And they had not been into the area for 20 years. So
Have they been around for 20 years?
Well, I think they kind of went away for a while. Yeah. Now they're back.
They're back with a vengeance.
Yeah, and so I had to go see them. So I took the train. They have a cult, kind of a niche cult following.
Yeah.
And so literally all 300 fans were there, right there. but anyway.
Dude, that's awesome, though, for a band, especially to hear, like, your songs sung back at you while you're singing. Like,
And not just your songs, but your songs that you wrote in the late 90s.
Yeah, exactly.
Literally over 20 years, you know, and these are just little two-minute, funny little songs.
You guys still know these. That's awesome.
Yeah. And then on Sunday, after the tree,
mm-hmm.
we went and got the tree, set up the tree and all that. I swung by the
Patina Vintage Goods.
Yep. And Dig the Dunes was having a calendar release party.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
So every year now, Dig the Dunes, basically you can submit photos of the area.
Mm-hmm.
And Eve picks 12 photos and makes this big calendar
nice
of the area. And it's pretty cool. And so
that was the release party of the calendar.
Sweet. Did they have like the photographers who took the photos there?
Yeah.
Oh, sweet.
Yeah.
Well, that's good for them then.
Yeah, so you can meet the photographers and buy the calendar, of course.
Yeah.
And buy other Dig the Dunes merch.
Yeah.
And check out the place. I'd never been in there.
Into Patina?
Right.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool shop. Yeah. They used to be in a different building, but they moved down to that place, and they got their own space now, which is it's nice. It's a cool place.
They're in the place where the flower shop used to be.
Yeah, Joy of Flowers.
Yep, that's where they are now. And anyway, so it was a full weekend.
Yeah, goodness gracious.
Who's complaining about nothing going on around here?
Yeah, exactly.
Jeez.
Dude, how do you have time to do anything like that? I'm over here like wailing in pain like from a kidney stone. Yeah. You're out there
when
like,
you don't have kidney
living
stone.
Your life. But I do have to say, have you heard the news about this new project that's going up where the Memorial Hospital used to be?
Oh, on Pine Street?
Yes.
Oh. I got that in my notes right here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Oh, man. The
So
how many stories?
Well, okay. So let me preface this with what it used to be. Do you remember what it was going to be? You know what it was going to be?
Yeah, it was going to be like Pondo's.
Yeah, and it was going to be four buildings, and they were all going to be like 3 to 4 stories tall.
Okay, yeah, with a storefront on the bottom floor.
Of one of the buildings.
Oh.
Only one of the buildings was getting storefronts on the bottom.
Okay.
So that was the old plan. So four buildings, only one of the buildings had storefronts on the bottom. The new plan is one building, and it's 9 stories tall.
9 stories. That's going to be a big building.
That's a big building.
Yeah.
What other building do we have besides Blue Chip that's that tall? I mean, Art Space is 8?
Oh, wow, yeah. So it's going to be taller than
the 7 or 8
lofts.
Yeah, it's going to be taller than the
Blue Chip Tower is
22.
22.
Yeah.
Then it looks like you can see it from really far away.
You can see it when you're coming down 421 from Westville. Like,
yeah.
And it looks like it's like, what is that thing in the... It's standing alone in the distance.
Yeah.
Oh, it's Blue Chip.
Yeah. So this is going to be about half the height of Blue Chip.
Yeah.
Right there.
But it's still tall.
It just seems like a weird... I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how to feel about it.
I don't know either. It was supposed to entice more affluent... Millennials is what I'm told the target audience is, and I just want to say what is affluent millennial?
Yeah.
Like, what is that? Because as a millennial myself, where does the affluence
come from in Michigan City?
Like
in Michigan City, especially.
Well, I think that's the thing. Is it's like obviously it's not geared towards current Michigan City residents. It's geared towards getting new. Residents of a certain tax bracket.
Yeah, to move here.
To
move here or to have a second. So is there anything I'm wondering in the deal that the people that own these condos, if they have to live there, like that's their primary residence, or is it going to turn into just like...
Well, I don't know if you can legally...
Chicago people's
regulate
second...
That.
second.
Yeah, I really hope that it doesn't become a second home kind of apartment complex. Yeah. I would really like it to be a first home thing and like only home thing. I think the idea is what they're trying to do, and I can understand this from a certain aspect, is that you're trying to build an infrastructure for better paying jobs to come around. You can't have jobs for... Like, you can't bring jobs that are more for affluent people if you don't have places for affluent people to live. Like, that's a basic economic infrastructure, like, thing. I get it. It's still, but I also understand the other aspect of it where it's like, people are like, well, how does this help current residents of Michigan City? And, yeah, it's like, that's a great question. But also, like, when there are things that do happen to help current residents of Michigan City, I feel like they're just glossed over and no one talks about. Like, the news doesn't pick up a news story about a new grant program that's for residents of Michigan City. They pick up the story about a 9-story building that's being built in Michigan City.
Or those stories are there, but people just scrolling right by on Facebook.
Or they talk about how it's not good enough.
Whereas the few posts that I saw about this 9-story building, there was a lot of conversation.
Yeah.
Everyone's got an opinion about it.
Absolutely, they do. But you know what my strongest opinion about it is, though? Is I was watching the news story about it. I think it was South Bend, NBC. And they were talking, and they had a reporter here live. And they said, this new building being built in Michigan City, we're going to go to our reporter live in Michigan. Michigan, period. And I said, where? Where? Michigan City, people, is in Indiana. A South Bend reporter should know that.
Oh.
That's the one, thing that...
Are you sure maybe his mic just got cut off?
Right? No, it was definitely in Michigan, stared at the face for a good quarter of a second and then switched over to the person. And I was like, why do they get that wrong? I kind of get why they get that wrong.
A little confusing.
But it's like, you're a reporter, you think you should do some research before you...
It's only 40 minutes away from there, too.
Yeah, exactly. Or, well, obviously, and the journalists, the live on TV journalists, they're not doing the research. They've got people who write the teleprompter stuff for them.
Let's blame them.
Yeah, let's blame the teleprompter people. The teleprompter people definitely got it wrong. Drop the ball. We're not in Michigan. We're in Indiana.
Michigan City.
And
neither in Michigan nor a city.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But seriously, if you've got anything you want to reach out to us about, please feel free to email us. We'd be happy to hear from you. Anything you want us to talk about, any corrections you want us to make about the information that we share, we are more than willing to correct ourselves. We have no egos over here, seriously. oh my God, you know what we forgot?
What?
I'm Kyle Murphy.
And I'm Adam Moore.
And this is Michigan City Honeydew.